I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 24 as we read a rather familiar story, starting in verse 13 through verse 27. Luke 24, 13 through 27. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. You know, normally I stand to one side or the other, but I don't want to kick over any lilies, and I don't want to stumble over any table. So if you'll allow me this time, I will stand right here. Let me ask you, when you get up on any given day, what do you expect to happen? For many of us, we anticipate and expect that we're going to go get that first bucket or pot of coffee. Well, some of us drink a pot, but we're going to drink that first cup of coffee, then we're going to start getting ready, and then we're going to battle the other vehicles and the other people trying to get to work. Some anticipate the wondrous thing that all of these children anticipate, going to school. I saw no smiles, except on the faces of the adults. What do you expect on Christmas morning? Ah, gifts. And later family. What do you expect on Easter? Sunrise services, if you're around here. Sunrise service at the Presbyterian Church, followed by plenty of food to eat at breakfast. Gathering for worship. Family time. And while those are good times, then the next day comes and it's back to those expectations of getting back to business. Getting up, rubbing the sleep out of your eyes and heading to work. And now you can imagine these disciples. Just earlier in the week, there had been all kinds of joy and anticipation as Jesus entered Jerusalem, followed by not just his 12 disciples, but led by and followed by many, many others who cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest." As the week went along, there were various confrontations with religious leaders and others. And then, just when they anticipated that Jesus might finally do what they expected, that is, be a political earthly king, Jesus is arrested and doesn't even put up a fight. And then he is taken to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. He is condemned to die through a series of trials, including in front of Pontius Pilate. Most of the disciples ran away, went into hiding, were afraid to come out because it might happen to them too. One disciple, we know, was at the foot of the cross. Prior to that, Simon Peter followed along, and Big Bad Simon, who had said, "I'll die before I'll ever deny you," not only denied Jesus three times when confronted by a maid and a soldier and another bystander, but the last time uttered a curse in denying that he knew Jesus. Judas, he threw the money down in the temple and went out and hanged himself. So there's a lot of desperation. There's a lot of doom and gloom toward the end of that week. Everything that had been anticipated on Palm Sunday had now gone dark. On the same day as the resurrection, Luke tells us, not only were many of the disciples in hiding, but these two unnamed disciples decided, that's it. Let's go see what we can do. And so they leave Jerusalem and they're walking along the road toward the village of Emmaus. As they're going along, we're told that they're sad as they talk about what has just happened. Imagine the conversation that they might have had. Imagine the sense of grave disappointment, the questions, the disillusionment. All of that that they had felt before was gone. Now, yes, some of the women had come from the tomb and said that Jesus' body was not there, and Peter and another disciple, we're told in the Gospel of John, ran and checked it out, and then they left. And these two disciples are heading back, probably thinking, well, I guess tomorrow we'll have to go back to work. As they're going along, they're approached by Jesus. He sees their sadness. He hears them talking with each other. He sees that disillusionment. He senses the brokenheartedness. Dreams had been shattered. What now? And so he asks them as he goes along. He says, what are you guys talking about with each other? They don't recognize Jesus. Some people say it's because of his glorified body. And that may have been. I imagine part of it is because they were so sad and had been crying and were so worried, and a stranger approaches. They were probably a little bit skittish of looking him in the eye. What if it was someone who was sent by the religious leadership or the Roman soldiers as spies and they recognized them? But as he asks what's been going on, we're told that one of these men, Cleopas, decides to unload. And he says, wait a minute. You've been hiding under a rock somewhere? Are you the only stranger around here that doesn't know what's happened? Well, let me tell you. Jesus of Nazareth, he was a great prophet. He did mighty works. When he spoke, everyone listened, some with anticipation, many seeking to find wrong. Our chief priests handed him over to the Romans. He was crucified. We expected him to be the Redeemer of Israel. Boy, were we wrong. He died. And now it's been This is the third day since he died. Now, some of the women were at the tomb and they said it was empty. A couple of others ran and they said it was empty, but they didn't see him. So, I guess we're going on. Jesus then looked at them and said, "How foolish are you?" In other words, what did you expect? What did you expect? How slow of heart you are to believe what the prophets declared. In other words, everything that happened was in front of you. All you had to do was really study and listen and pay attention, and you would have understood. You would have understood that the Messiah, this one for whom you were waiting and hoping, was not what you expected, but what God determined to bring. And then we're told that he opened their minds and interpreted to them all the scriptures concerning the Messiah, showing them as they went along from Moses all the way up through the other prophets, how this was supposed to happen this way. That what God was doing in Jesus of Nazareth was much more than what they expected. That their understanding and that their anticipation and that what they wanted was so much less than what God brought. And so he interprets for them all of these things about himself. All of these things that were in Scripture. Scriptures that they knew. Scriptures that they had heard. But scriptures that they had just kind of sloughed over. Overlooked. Not dug deeply enough. You know the rest of this part of the story. About the time Jesus finishes talking to them, they arrive in the village where they were going. They arrive at a house to go in and have something to eat. And they ask Jesus, "Well, you know, why don't you stay? After all, that was good hospitality. This person walking with them had given them instruction, had been a teacher. That was good hospitality to say, why don't you stay and eat? We'll buy you a meal, a cup of coffee." And when they sit down, and the food comes, and Jesus breaks the bread and says a blessing, suddenly their eyes are open, and they recognized him, and he left. Suddenly they believed because they had seen and experienced his presence at that point in a different way. All of the disillusionment, all of the disappointment that they had been experiencing since Jesus' death, all of that that caused them to say, let's go on about our business, see if we can get our old jobs back. All of that vanished. And what did they do? Well, they didn't spend the night. If you read further down, it says, and that very hour, in other words, just after that, they said, we got to go tell somebody. We've got to go tell someone. And they went and found the rest of the disciples gathered together in Jerusalem. They turned around and walked that 7 miles back to find those folks to tell them. To tell them that it was true. Jesus is alive. We saw him. We spoke to him. We didn't recognize him to begin with, but we know it is him. He is risen. And while they were talking, Jesus arrives. And at first they think they're seeing a ghost, but he proves he's really there. Do you know what happens later? After all the time that they spend together, when it comes time for Jesus to leave and to go back into the heavens, in the book of Acts, what do they say? okay, now, Lord, we've seen you. We know you're alive. You've done something we didn't expect. Now, do what we expect. Are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Still thinking with that limited vision about what they expected rather than what God was giving. And so the question comes to me very often, and perhaps maybe to you on occasion. Just what do you expect? Just what do you expect? What do you expect when you make that decision and then life happens? Some folks expect grand miracles, and sometimes those seem to happen, and at other times they lose someone that they love, and yet is that not the grandest miracle of all, that final healing? Many think that once I become a follower, things will just be great. Once I make that profession, once I join the church, then I can expect fill in the blank. But what happens when things don't go like we expect? What happens when we, like those disciples, experience loss? Experience times where we can't seem to connect with God? When things are not as we hope, what do we do? Unfortunately, many walk away. Maybe not totally, but they suddenly disappear. They absent themselves. They bargain with God. They church hop if they even go at all. Why? Because it wasn't what they expected. And then illness comes. Devastating illness happens. Jobs are lost. Feelings get hurt. People get tired. And they begin to wonder and say, God, this isn't what I expected. I expected things to be great. I expected troubles to be few. And yet that's not true living. For as long as we are living in this world, the things that we expect oftentimes don't happen exactly as we wish. In fact, sometimes those things come very unexpectedly and they strike us out of the blue. When these things come and they're not what we expect, then what are we to do? Well, these two disciples explained to Jesus how their expectations had been dashed. But they didn't just turn around and walk away then. They continued on the journey with him and allowed him to speak to them, to open their minds by going over the scriptures and by telling them that God wished to bring much more than they expected. So when these times come and they're not what we expect, we should take the time to study, to listen, to seek to come even more closely through study and prayer and listening to what God would have us to do. To remember that God wishes to do more than we expect, but sometimes we stunt what He does by not looking closely. We need, like they, to allow the Scriptures not just to be told or read, but to be interpreted. We need to allow ourselves to open our minds as well as our hearts. For we need to have both open to really understand the things that God would do. But we also need to remember that there are things not just that we expect, but there are things that God expects of us. To walk with Jesus in mind, in spirit, and in life. For when life happens in unexpected ways and seems to devastate us, God is there in the Christ, wishing to bring life in unexpected ways, to take us through the difficult days, to overcome disappointment and disillusionment, to bring us more closely into His life in the world, so that we might do what He expects. And so each day, as we face those things that we don't necessarily expect, may we remember and experience the resurrection life anew, because we allow God to tell us what He expects. And may we, like those two disciples, then share with others who are saying, you know, this is not what I expected. That Christ is risen. And that what He might bring can be beyond our expectations. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, too often we look for what we expect rather than being open to Your leading. We want You to do things, and we expect things from You, and yet we forget that You expect us to live our lives in certain ways as well. Help us to be open. Open to study, open to hearing, open to a sense of Your presence in such a way that no matter what life may bring our ways, as resurrection people, as Christ followers, we might experience life anew. We offer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of invitation, is hymn number 368. It's a statement. I serve a risen Savior. But do we really serve Him, or do we expect Him to serve us? And so that is the question that comes not only in this hymn, but in our hearts as we sing, as we remember what God's expectations are for us, standing and singing together. I serve a risen Savior, better known as He Lives. But because He lives, I can serve. Hymn number 368.